It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 599. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. The email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow. Have a jam-packed show tonight. And being show 599, on my last show, I asked, send me questions for next week's show 600. November 17th, Thursday night, show 600. It's also my birthday, my 56th birthday. We will begin at 7 o'clock. I'll have a nice pre-show. I'll do the show, and I'm going to answer questions. I've already received some questions. Anything you want to ask about me, my corporate background, anything about the Mike Tech Show, anything about my business that I can share. Within reason, I will do my best in answering all questions. I also have some stories that I've never shared, never talked about, that I've saved up for show 600. So get them into me, miketechshow@gmail.com. Gonna talk about some stories in the trenches, things that I've been working on the last few days, problems myself and my company has been working on and solving. And then we're going to get to email and we're going to talk about Woot and what they've done. And I mentioned that on Saturday when I read an email from Alan. It's bad. And we'll get to that. All right. So first, been planning this huge client move. It's one of my biggest clients and they're moving literally down the hall. But whether you're moving miles and miles away, or you're moving to another suite down the hall, it's still a ton of work. We only have 9 systems. They've downsized over the past couple years, and now they have too much square footage. So they're moving to a smaller space. They have a full server and Active Directory, but they also have NetCarrier for VoIP with 2 internet services, Verizon Fios and Comcast. And we have a router with an automatic cutover. If they have a problem, they're automatically cut over to Comcast. If they're Comcast, if there's a problem, they'll be cut over to Fios. This works beautiful, but when you are moving, you got to coordinate this with all the vendors. We had to recable the new suite. Tomorrow at noon, Ken, my other tech, my son, Mike Jr., and myself, we're going to be on site at noon, and we're going to be shutting down all the computers, wrapping them up, putting them on carts, taking them to the new suite, and putting them in a temporary area because the movers aren't coming till Saturday morning. Then at 3 o'clock, we're joined by the VoIP vendor, and we're going to move all the hardware for the back-end infrastructure, set that all up. And once we get that set all up tomorrow night, then we're going to be done for tomorrow night. Then we got to go back Saturday after the movers move the furniture, and then we got to hook up everything. This is a lot of work. That's my weekend. But I also have clients that need attention and care. So I'm doing a laptop migration and very frustrated tonight. You know how Windows 7 new installs, and this is a fresh Windows 7 laptop from Dell. We're having trouble doing the Windows updates. And right now, we pulled the network adapter and did one of the tips that I've talked about, which is running those three manual updates and then running WSUS offline. Well, that's now hung right this minute. And my son's working on that behind me. This machine is not cooperating. So working on that. And then I have all of the backup from the old laptop with FABs. That's something on the agenda this weekend for me. I have a client that wants to do a slideshow with Chromecast on the TV. I have to work on that. I haven't played recently with Chromecast, so can I put a PowerPoint presentation together with some Excel data and some other data that they can manipulate and have it be a nice slideshow on this big screen? I got to work on that. I have a VPN that I've never seen before on a client's laptop that I must learn how to install that. That's something else. Now, remember, I got this move happening, and then I also got to learn and do all of this. In the middle of this, a radio station that I support in Philadelphia, they've lost access to the internet. So I dispatch Ken today down there because I'm going crazy visiting clients and work. My oldest son was installing two new HP minis for the conference rooms for a company. And then here we find out the server crashed. Small business server, 2008. And you're like, okay, Mike, you have backups on this server. They are not a retainer client, and we haven't heard from them in a long, long time. And guess what? There's no backups. It's going to be very interesting rebuilding that server. Now, Ken rigged it to get internet access, so giving them IP addresses coming from the Comcast router as opposed to the server. So we got them on the internet, but there's a lot of problems that's going to happen that will begin on Monday, and we'll see what our options are for trying different recovery options and everything. I don't even have all the details on the actual error yet, but we just know that the server is in a constant reboot. So this is going to be probably high on the list for next week for a challenge. But remember, if you're not a retainer client where you're paying a monthly fee, you're not at the top of the priority list. So they called me this morning, but I couldn't get a tech down there until 4 o'clock this afternoon because we're tied up. If they were a retainer client, I would have rejuggled the schedule and got someone down there. That's just something that I wanted to make sure you guys are following along here. It's not that I'm mean, and it's, you know, business is business, and those that pay get serviced first. Received a referral last week and had a meeting with a very small, works out of his house company. I was over there Wednesday. Wait to hear this. 8 email addresses. I can't make this up. He has multiple domains with email addresses. One is Office 365. Two of them are Google Apps. Some of them are just pure Gmail. It's a mess. And how he's got his calendars and his contacts, and it's just, I've outlined a strategy for going forward. And he has access to 3 of the domains, but not another one that he uses. So he's got to get the GoDaddy access for the one. And then he has a separate GoDaddy account with a couple of the domains. So we got to merge the GoDaddy accounts. And once that's done, and I know we have full control where I can change the MX records, here is my solution that I've worked up, and I got to draw it out so I can send it to my client to let him know what I want to do. He has one email account that he wants to be the primary account that receives everything. So I'm going to create a SureWeb account with him, have him create a SureWeb account and change the MX records and have all the email go to this account. I'm going to export all of his email into separate PST files. Now I've got all of his contacts, all of his calendar, all of his email. Then I'm going to create what SureWeb calls subdomains. These are secondary, tertiary domain names that you can send email to, and they're going to go to the primary. So let's say I have Mike at ABC.com as my primary, and then I have DEF.com, Mike, as a subdomain. As long as I own the domain and I point the MX records to ShareWeb, it doesn't cost any more money. So I'm taking all of his domains and I'm listing him there. I'm going to take his two Gmail accounts and forward them to the primary ShareWeb. Now I've got everything condensed in one email account. I'm going to migrate his mail by then uploading all of the PSTs to ShareWeb and add them automatically, where I just check it and add it to that account, add the next one. It's very simple. And once I get everything uploaded, it's all going to combine. Then I'm going to have them with Outlook set up a new profile for that email, and then it's all going to come down. And we've centralized all of his email. I wanted to go over that because if you have a client or someone that you run into in that situation that's got multiple emails, you really want to put them on an Exchange hosted server, because now synchronization of the mail, calendar, contacts is going to be perfect. Whether he lives in a Windows world, a Mac world, whether he has an Apple phone, an Android phone, it doesn't matter, because they use the Exchange protocol or the Active Sync. He lives in a Mac world. So he's got two MacBook Pros. He has an iPhone and an iPad. He is going to be so happy when this is done, because I watched the nightmare that he goes through in trying to get to his mail and to get to his contacts. It was painful, as he had to show me everything, and I had to follow what was forwarding to where and what was happening. When I outlined it all and I understood everything, then I'm like, where do you want to go? So I documented where we're at, where do you want to go to, and then I provide the path to get there. And that is going to work out really good. Very cool. And how I'm going to merge and combine all of the email. Let's get to some emails here. So on Saturday, I received an email from Alan that I read about Woot selling your personal data and everything they're collecting. Everything that you, wherever you go when you use Woot, Woot is called Web of Trust. And Woot is, so it blocks you from going to bad websites. It's a great free service and extension for your browsers. So when people who recklessly search and don't look where they're clicking, you can at least get a warning if you're going to a bad site. I've had great success with Woot. You've heard me recommend it, talk about it. They have betrayed our trust because they are reselling our data that they are collecting. Google Chrome and Firefox have removed it from their extensions. I want to thank a few people who wrote in here. This is from Brandon. Hey, Mike, longtime listener. I stumbled upon this article and immediately knew you would want to see it, since I know you have praised this extension on many occasions. It looks like Web of Trust was caught selling user data to third parties. It was removed from the web store for Chrome and Firefox. I'm sure this will be disheartening news, because I know how much you like the extension for your customers. Anyways, thanks for the great show. Keep it up, and best of luck to you and your family this holiday season. Brandon, thank you so much. And this was the PC Magazine article that I linked on Saturday. This is from Keith. Lifehacker is recommending we uninstall this app immediately. Keith, thank you for that link. And then Geeks to Go. This is from Adam. Just saw this article on the Bleeping Computer website regarding Woot Web of Trust. They are selling user data to third parties without properly anonymizing user information, which in some cases exposes the user's real identity and details about his browsing habits. It's terrible. Right now, you must remove Woot from any browser that you've installed it on, whether you're using it. We need an alternative to Woot, because I like what Woot was doing. Right now, I'm going to upsell clients to a program called Malwarebytes Anti-Exploit. And since I'm a reseller of that, I am going to start recommending that, because that links into your applications to stop abnormal behavior and problems. You may go to a website and experience a problem. I'm going to start pushing Malwarebytes anti-exploit, only because I don't have another recommendation yet. Get those into me so I can start talking about, and we can start testing out. Kate, of course, sent me a link from theregister.co.uk. Thank you. And Martin Obando from Obando Computing. Thank you, Martin. He sent me a link. So they're just the ones I printed. I don't like what happened, but I really appreciate the tremendous response from all of you in getting to me and letting me know. That's how this works. I can't know everything. I can't be everywhere. And when something like that's happening, email me so I can package it and put it together and talk about it in an upcoming show and share it with all of you. Thank you so much for being on top of that. I really appreciate it. We got some more emails here. This is from John. I got a call from my father-in-law to tell me his laptop said it had a virus. I asked him if it was from the antivirus software installed on his machine. He said that it was warning him that his bank account was in danger of being compromised and his computer was beeping constantly. I told him not to click on anything and to shut the lid of his laptop. Luckily, he had already had done that part and the beeping had stopped. I looked at his laptop, and sure enough, it was a message in a web page. The other tab of the web browser was his email provider. So I'm not sure if he clicked on a bad email or not. I screen captured the web page and the browser history, and including these items in the email. The screen capture of the web page was done after I closed Edge and relaunched it with the machine not connected to a network. After killing the web browser, I performed a full scan of the machine with the antivirus software in addition to Malwarebytes and Super Anti Spyware. None of the scans showed anything, so I don't think the machine itself became infected. I looked up the website HIHPS.com, and it shows that it is registered but doesn't give much detail. I did a Google search for the site and nothing came up. I'm not sure if you've seen this before. I have seen this. I would love to get your opinion on what you think. First, you need to run more deep cleaning tools. I want you to run Rogue Killer. I want you to do CCleaner and clean out a lot of the temp files, the history, the cookies. You probably got most of the cookies with Super Anti Spyware. Then I want you to make sure you ask your dad to change his email password. I don't feel comfortable that the email tab was up. Now, we don't know if anything happened, but why take a chance? He also should be taking a look at his bank account info and credit card statements to make sure there's no abnormalities. There's nothing, there's no charges or anything that's happened, just in case they've breached any kind of security, because you don't know, did he do any banking or anything that might have been compromised? Go the extra effort to check those things. And we should all do that if we suspect something. Monitor your credit cards, monitor your bank statement, and make sure there's no, or debit cards, make sure there's no transactions that you did not approve. Carrie in the chat recommending the program. I've ran this. It's really good. Emisoft Emergency Kit, and it's free. And I'll make sure that link's in the show notes tonight. I actually run that in combination when I'm doing a full deep cleaning as part of the unattended cleaning I do with the Windows Repair Toolbox. That is actually part of that and several other programs. And it takes 5 hours to run, typically, but I just set it, forget it, and it emails me when it starts to reboot, when it's all done. And then I'll log back in, unattended with instant house call, and check it out. As a matter of fact, I have one running right this minute for a client. I don't sit there and watch the screen for 5 hours. I kick it off, let it run. I will be emailed a log letting me know everything that was found. It's a beautiful thing. And that is the Windows repair toolbox that I have talked about several times. So, John, hopefully everything's good. This is Terry from Arizona. It's about DriverMax. Mike, per your suggestion, I tried DriverMax. I worked on someone's laptop with a completely dead hard drive. Could not even get files off it. Of course, he never backed it up. Of course. Anyway, installed a new hard drive and downloaded the Windows 10 ISO. The install was fine. Windows 10 activated. It was originally Windows 8. Of course, it was missing drivers. The Dell website was not much help. The auto detection of drivers did not work. I had 8 missing drivers in Device Manager. None of the drivers on the Dell site were installing the missing drivers. I installed DriverMax and updated 2 missing PCI drivers. I used the free version, so all I could download was 2 in one day. Today, I tried DriverMax again, and I could scan, but the program would freeze once I tried to do an update. I finally gave up. I don't know if DriverMax was not working today after the laptop installed cumulative update for Windows 10 KB3200970. Not sure. I've had great success with DriverMax. You've heard me talk about it. I will continue to recommend a vendor, software or hardware, until they disappoint me. Like Woot, we recommended them until they broken our trust, disappointed us. Now we stop using them. DriverMax has been very good to me, and it's been good to a lot of you because I have a stack of email proclaiming that. I think, Terry, you do enough work on systems that it's worth the $29 or $39 investment. I think it's worth it. It has saved me on finding drivers so many times that they far outweigh the 1 or 2 times that it might not find a driver. Another tip, another way, and this is a lot of legwork, run SIW or whatever you run to tell you the chipset and component information on the hardware. So I'll run SIW, find out who is the chipset manufacturer for the NIC card, because maybe I couldn't have a NIC driver. Then I'll go to the manufacturer's website. A lot of the components are Intel. You know, you can go to Intel and have it scan. Did you try using the Dell utility? Run Internet Explorer, go to Dell.com, put in your tag number or whatever, have it do a scan of your system and let it do its analysis. It may surprise you. It may load and download a driver that's not available for you to download, but yet is available from Dell. Just something else to try. Always go to the manufacturer's website and see if they have like an auto scan, like NVIDIA. If you have an NVIDIA graphics card, you can run their utility, let it determine what card you have, and then it will download the appropriate driver. Check that out, and you can go that manual route, which is just find the manufacturers. Hey, if whatever the chipset is for the audio, there you go. Carrie recommends Slim Drivers. It's another alternative for you. Terry, I appreciate it. This is from Kevin. Funny, the topic here. My son behind me, who's been battling this problem, I want him to hear this, and I'm going to hand him this email after I'm done reading it. I wanted to share something I recently came across lately with several Windows 7 computers relating to updates. I had multiple machines that would hang when running check updates, even on fresh installs from a manufacturer. I finally came across a solution that seems to work every time. There appears to be about 4 to 6 updates, depending on the computer, that must be installed manually. Now, he has a list here of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm going to download these manual 8 updates, see which order they should be applied in. And I'm going to put this in the show notes, these 8 updates. Then I promptly have saved this on a network share for future, but you can find the full article that I read here by askvg.com. I'm going to have this link, which talks about installing all these drivers. And let's see, this is now another solution for fixing the stuck checking for Windows 7 updates. That's it for the show tonight. Not a long show. I want to thank all of you for supporting my Amazon link, amazon.micnation.net. Anything you want to buy from Amazon, anybody that you know, share that link. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. And I really appreciate that. Again, it's amazon.micnation.net. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. Again, you heard me talk about it tonight. I love that program and all of my migrations. That's the first tool I go to then back up all the settings, all of the user's data. And I move that to an external drive, take it to the machine, and then do the restore of all that information. And that's after you install all the applications. Remember, if you're going to load Chrome data, make sure you've installed Chrome first, or it's not going to be able to work. Make sure all the apps are installed on the target machine before you start the recovery of the data from Fabs. That's it for show 599 tonight. Please join me next week for show 600. And that'll be 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Thursday night, November 17th. That's it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.